Now for reading and writing and radio.
Remember, even if you win the rat race, you're still a rat.
Keep New York green. Throw your trash in New Jersey.
An apple a day keeps the doctor away, but an onion a day keeps everyone away.
To save face, keep lower half shut.
Watership Down. You've read the book, you've seen the film. Now try the stew.
Machines can never replace human stupidity.
Get really stoned. Eat wet cement.
Tolkien is hobbit forming.
Tomorrow will be canceled due to lack of interest.
Repeal the law of gravity.
Give your child mental blocks for Christmas.
Smoke, choke, croak.
Stop the world! I want to get off!
Neuroses is red. Melancholia is blue. I'm schizophrenic. What's the matter with you?
Stop air pollution. Quit breathing.
Will Tutankhamun please return to the British Museum, where his mummy is waiting for him?
The author who writes on walls is anonymous, but on reading and writing and radio today, it's us. WSSR Radio at Sangamon State University presents Reading and Writing and Radio, a program about creative writing. Your host is Jacqueline Jackson, children's author and professor of literature at Sangamon State University.
Marion, have you ever written Marion Levin on a wall?
Not on a wall. Not on my desk at school. Not on a lavatory door. Never, never, never would I think of writing on a wall or any part of something that belonged to somebody else. I was raised in a very strict middle-class house, and you just simply didn't do those things. What about you, Jackie?
Well, when my dad was a little boy, he got a jackknife, and he went to a country school, and one day he carved his name on the back house, that's the outhouse, the inside of the back house door. And his little brother told his father, and my grandpa took my brother across the field with a great heavy plane in his hand and made him plane off the entire name on the door, while he said to him, "Fool's names and fool's faces always appear in public places." And my father cried and cried and planed, and that lesson was so seared into his soul that he never wrote in a public place after that, and he seared it on our souls so that we never wrote our names in public places either.
Well, what do you suppose possesses people? What do you suppose was in your father's mind when he wrote on that lavatory door?
Well, don't you think maybe it was just a sort of simple proclamation of meanness? I'm here on this earth, and so he wrote Ronald Dogan. I've seen a graffiti that said somebody writes, "Why write on a wall?" And somebody else writes, "Because it's there."
So there's those two kinds of ideas. The fact that we're trying to proclaim that we were there, not only to ourselves, but to whoever is going to come into this place after we were there, right?
Yeah.
And it's a kind of way of making our name immortal. Have you ever seen writing on statues, on very famous statues? The Abraham Lincoln statue in Washington has a name scratched in at the bottom of it.
Yeah, and mountains and carving on trees.
And it's a kind of a defiance. At the same time that they're saying, "I'm here," they're saying, "I'm here in this very special place." So that besides declaring meanness, you have a certain defiant quality in there.
Wet cement, railroad trestles, people put their names on.
Right.
There's one very famous name that emerged during World War II that everybody has seen, which is Kilroy was here. Kilroy appeared all over the world.
Yes, it went with the American soldiers. Everywhere that the American soldiers went, Kilroy went. You could find him on the highest mountain, in the deepest ocean, places that absolutely would boggle the mind, on the farthest island. One time they found Kilroy was here up on top of the George Washington Bridge, another time on the torch of the Statue of Liberty.
It seems to me that Kilroy is a sort of everyman, the common man, showing that he can absolutely do the sorts of things that aren't supposed to be able to be done. There was a joke at the time that they were about to put the first man on the moon, and it showed the astronauts getting out on the moon, and here was a rock where it said Kilroy was here, meaning that, you know, the average fellow had gotten there first and
right,
signed his name.
And the average fellow doesn't get that much of an opportunity to sign his name or to see his name everywhere. And graffiti gives him that right, gives him that sanction.
Well, there's other sorts of graffiti than names and the Kilroy is here sort of thing. The most usual, I'd say, after a person's name is the John Loves Mary and the Susie Plus Ralph. Oh, I used the word graffiti. That's the word, the name for meaning writing on walls. And here on Reading and Writing and Radio, we're interested in all sorts of writing. And wall writing is a form of writing and of expression.
Did you know that graffiti is the plural? That graffito is the singular?
No, I didn't.
I thought that was kind of fun. But most of the graffiti, we really can't read on the air today.
Well, that's because most of it is vulgar words, four-letter words.
The taboo words, right?
Yeah, and there's certainly a lot of that.
And they show a kind of defiance, a way of saying, I've been forbidden to say this where anybody can hear it, but I'm going to write it for all the world to see it.
And write it secretly.
You
don't see somebody writing a bad word on a wall, usually, where somebody can see him write it. You know, that's
correct.
It's a secret sort of thing. Well, the vulgar words, the four-letter words, they show very little imagination. Today we're much more interested in the imaginative graffiti, the fun and clever public writing. What are some of the other sorts of graffiti that there are?
Well, there are the ones written just to make people laugh, often clever by playing on words, double meanings. I give my right arm to be ambidextrous. Or Count Dracula, your Bloody Mary is ready.
Then there's the church one. You know, often churches have a case out in front, have you noticed, with a saying, some maxim or proverb or catchy something to make the passerby think about his soul or social concerns or so forth. Well, there was one down in St. Louis that said, "What would you do if Jesus Christ came to St. Louis?" And somebody had written under it, "Move Ted Simmons to right field."
Obviously not thinking in exactly the religious quantity of that one. Well, there are graffiti that express anxieties and get rid of people's frustrations, people that are fed up.
The Stop the World one is that one. I want to get off.
That was a very famous one. That stayed around for an awful long time. And on one that I liked that when we were reading about graffiti was the big map on the London bus route, the one that lights up with a little button when you press it and telling you where you are.
You are here.
And saying, you are here, right. And someone had written below, but where are the flaming buses?
And then there's the insults. Visit your mother today. Maybe she hasn't had any problems lately.
And I just can't picture you as the end result of millions of years of evolution. Well, there are some that give advice, of course. Blow your mind, smoke gunpowder.
And some make observances on life, often cynical. Cinderella married for money.
The
more you cultivate people, the more you turn up clods.
Well, and there's the reverse, the ones that aren't cynical but are statements of faith. And we've all seen these very often. The one that says, Jesus saves.
The religious ones, yeah,
right.
And black is beautiful.
And the one that, of course, all the lovers of Tolkien have come to declaim on everything from hither to yon, Frodo lives.
And then there's the warnings, too. Down south, you often see especially.
Yes. When I was down in Birmingham, we would ride around in the hills, in the mountains around Birmingham, and every time you would come to a particularly treacherous curve where the slightest mismanagement of your car would cause disaster, you would always see an enormous sign saying, prepare to meet your maker.
The Burma Shave signs have gone the way of many road signs.
Oh, and I'm sorry about that. Did they ever entertain me when I was driving?
They were entertaining, but they were often warnings. One that I've never forgotten was, if hugging on highways is your sport, trade in your car for a Davenport.
Yes, I'm afraid the Burma Shave signs have gone the way of speed. We all travel too fast now to really read and enjoy the Burma Shave signs.
And there were too many. I mean, there'd be four or five of them, whereas usually a graffiti is just one short thing. So even if it's on a highway, you can, you know, on a rock or something, you can read it. Well, in some graffiti, it's the reversal. It's the paradox that makes us laugh. To see a wall, for instance, that says, stop vandalism, don't scribble on walls.
And then there's the shock value. The first line sounds very logical, something that you can really relate to, and then they hit you with the shocker at the end. Save a tree. Eat a beaver.
Then all over the world are the political ones and the propaganda graffiti, the ominous, the heavy, the protest messages. There were lots of anti-war ones during the Vietnam War. War is good business. Invest your sons.
Legalize private murder. Why should the government have all the fun?
There will be peace in 1978, with or without people.
And you know, when I, as we're reading those, I'm thinking very much of a television program that everybody watches now. It's very much that MASH kind of humor. The humor that's in that MASH show is really rather grim.
There's other social commentary besides war. After Three Mile Island, this one cropped up. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you may be radioactive. Then another type is the confessional. Now, Marge Mayall's class at Harvard Park Springfield sent us in some of their class's graffiti sheets, and one person wrote in small letters, I messed up.
Yes. Yes, I wonder if it made him feel any better
to write it.
And then there's the ones that are promoting causes to try and alter social behavior, to awaken us to certain causes.
Usually those are bumper stickers, aren't they, that are gotten out by groups.
And the ones that say, have you hugged your kid today?
Yeah, then I had to laugh when I saw one after seeing a lot of those that said, have you hugged your grandparent today?
Well,
because, us parents and grandparents often go unhugged by the kids.
And then the one that I really liked was one I heard over WTAX that they saw in the garbage truck that said, "Have you hugged your garbage man today?"
Well, that's a sort of a proclamation, isn't it, that we're all worthy of love,
even all the garbage. It. Right.
We all need it, even the garbage man. I saw one on a bumper sticker that was put out by the Library Association, and it said, "The world is coming to an end. Repent and return those library books." And then when we lived in Ohio, it was just when Lake Erie was coming into the news as being dead, and that was when the first bumper stickers showed up that started out, "Don't do it in the lake."
Yeah, well, you know, the thing is that almost every kind of group that you can think of, almost every kind of cause that you can think of, has resorted to the graffiti of a bumper sticker, resorted to these quick slogans that are very short, succinct, and visual to get the word out about their particular cause. Here's the teachers' unions when they were on strike. If you think education is expensive, try ignorance.
So the graffiti is coming into use in accepted ways.
I think that the medium has had a lot to do with that. I think that television, with its visual pictures that tell stories, and they have to be quick. People's attention must be gotten very rapidly, or else they'll turn off the tube and go on to something mm-hmm. else.
And it has to be something arresting.
Arresting.
Something that catches
right,
them.
Right.
Well, back to the walls. I like the ones that people add on to. Someone wrote a question on a wall in some despair, "Is there any intelligent life on Earth?" And somebody else wrote under it, "Yes, but I'm only visiting."
And then there are the kind, the rather esoteric ones, the ones that are just for particular groups of in people. For instance, this one about the artist Gauguin that was on an art school. At 35, Gauguin worked in a bank. It's never too late.
And somebody else had written under it, "At 35, Mozart was dead."
You can't win.
And here's one with three commentaries. You know, Shakespeare says all the world's a stage. Well, somebody wrote, "All the world's a stage, and the people on it are poorly rehearsed." And then the else added under that, "No, just poorly directed."
And a third edition was, "No, just poorly cast." Well, there's a long history to writing on walls, isn't there, Jackie?
I think ever since writing was invented, people have written on walls. Now, of course, the most famous writing on the wall is in the Bible. In Daniel 5:25, King Belshazzar is having a feast when a detached hand appears, which Daniel later on says is the hand of the Lord, and writes with candle smoke on the wall, "Meeni, meeni, tekel, uparshin," which translated means, "You've been weighed in the scales and found wanting." And that's where we get the saying, "He saw the handwriting on the wall," meaning that, you know, the jig's up. And sometimes, even now, you see kids writing on a wall, "Meeny, meeny, tickle a person." And that, of course, It's the "meeny, meeny, tekel" out of the Bible, but I figure that most of them never know what they're writing it from.
No, they don't know the original source of the thing. And I think that's rather astounding to find out that
the Lord was the first.
The Lord was the first, right?
The first one who desecrated a wall. Well, I don't know. Maybe the caveman came before Balthazar.
Well, the caveman, of course, didn't have words or any writing skills, but he could put his hand against the wall. He could draw around his hand, and if his hand had any distinguishing characteristic, like a finger missing or part of a finger missing, this showed there was a difference. This was a different person signing on that wall.
That this was Uga's hand on the wall.
Right, and not Uga's.
Right. Well, now, when graffiti is the kind of writing that is usually lost. But in Pompeii, which was buried in a day, there in A.D. 79 in Italy, we have the real thing, because when they uncovered the walls, they found they were just covered with Latin graffiti, of course. And there were political slogans, and there were advertisements, and there were the four-letter words, and there were the the scurrilous verses, but there was it was all familiar. And there was the Serena hates Isidore, and Figulus loves Ida, and somebody wrote, "No one's a handsome fellow unless he has loved." So it makes you feel very much at home to discover that back there in Pompeii, they were writing on walls too.
And I think the people who have studied the history of languages feel that this represents more of what the common man thought and wrote. I kind of have to question that just a bit. But it did have a difference between that and the writing of a scholar. They also wrote on in the prisons in the Tower of London, the very famous political prisoners that were there.
And the religious prisoners would write messages of hope and faith on the walls.
Yes, long,
and
involved,
you can see those
literate
when you visit the tower.
Of hope and inspiration.
Mm-hmm. Graffiti, we haven't said that it's come into its own to be studied by scholars, to see what people did write and to conjecture why they write and what were the... It's a social history.
Right.
And graffiti scholars are, you know, lament that it is such a ephemeral form, that unless it's chipped into the stone or preserved by being buried in lava, why we have lost so much of it.
Well, and it's becoming an even more ephemeral form, as our society has different kinds of graffiti. It has evolved into other kinds of things we don't...
Well, we've taken it off the walls.
Right.
We've mentioned the television, but there's and the bumper stickers, but there's buttons and there's T-shirts. What about license plates?
Well, you know, here we are. We're back to that meanness again, aren't we? The thing that we talked about at the very first. And not anonymous meanness, really declaiming our meanness. And I wonder,
you got it right there in front of you on
right,
your T-shirt
on
or
your
on
t-shirt,
your license plate.
Or on that button. You're saying, this is what I believe. This is what I say. This is what I am.
Do you think that's real graffiti, though, if it's associated with a person, if they sign their name to it, so to speak, by standing right behind it?
Well, but I'm wondering, too, if in some of these cases, these are not protest, a kind of protest graffiti. Think in relationship, for instance, to the license plate. We have our license plates with numbers and letters, traditionally, numbers and letters. Very impersonal, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't know who's
in
that car.
Yeah, and our social security numbers and our computer numbers
yes.
and our telephone numbers.
That
we're
all
a numbered
say we're
society,
numbered.
Right.
And all of a sudden now we can have license plates that declare something about us. And what does that create? Tell that story about the Latin license
oh,
plate
yeah.
that you...
I was driving along, and I've had a lot of Latin, and I saw a license plate that said UXOR. Now, uxor means wife in Latin. And so I quick sped up and pulled alongside this car at the stoplight and rolled down the window and said to the woman driving it, "Does your husband have one that says Maritas? Because that's husband in Latin." And she laughed and said, "Yes," and we had a little bond of communication there at
there
the stoplight.
Was. Two people coming out of their private cars who had never met each other, and this sort of instant bond, this instant
yeah.
recognition of someone of your kind.
And in Vermont especially, where they've had this for a long time, you get a lot of clever license plates. I am A1, an educator, where the Kate part is 8, E-D-U-C-8-R.
Mm-hmm.
So when you spell it out, it's educator, and this sort of thing. Well, let me tell all you listeners how we got started on this topic for today. Noelle Kendall was a teacher at Staley School in Springfield last year, and I visited her class. And they had a graffiti board, and I asked about it. And Noelle has since moved, but she wrote me this letter telling me about it for the program. She says, "In preparing for the opening of school, I knew there'd be need for some sort of system to keep track of the comings and goings of students as they went to special classes, duties such as patrol in the restroom. A sign-out sheet was created where each person would sign name, destination, time of departure, and return to the classroom. And I believe it was eventually abbreviated to time in and time out. A daily record was kept, and we knew where everybody was, and the students could take their personal responsibility. Well, as in many systems, use brings abuse. And one day, there were some four-letter words on the sign-out sheet. Well, my kids were excited. What was going to be done? More specifically, what was the teacher going to do? So I stopped the class activity and announced that we needed to confer on a social problem and explained the situation. And one student said that we should find out who it was that did it so that that person would have to raise his hand and ask to go to the restroom, because this student liked the system and didn't want to change it and thought it was going to be stopped. And I agreed and said that what we should do that was to keep the system but need a spot for unsigned markings, and where we would use the system and not abuse the system. And so I said, graffiti is what we have here, a free expression and response by an unknown author on a surface not intended for scribbly scrawls. So let's get a surface for scribbly scrawls. And so that day after school, three students helped me to cover our classroom door with butcher's paper, and we wrote graffiti on top in big letters, and I and the principal and the three students put in the first of the unsigned markings. And the sheet was up for a number of weeks, and some people wrote a lot and some never wrote anything. And a lot of the expressions were Susie loves Joey or that sort of thing. And occasionally they were socially unacceptable terms on which I wrote censored in big black markers. And we filled the sheet with weather reports and love notes and school attitudes, special events, unique class expressions, special achievements, highs and hellos, news of home. Sometimes I asked people to record a special accomplishment. And even though the big sheet came down one day, I maintained a graffiti area in the classroom in a study carrel. And here the graffiti was written all year, and here was a place for free and unsigned expression, and it got lots of use. I asked Marge Mayall's class at Harvard Park to give this a try, and I mentioned the messed up, and here is the sheet there, Marion.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, I see there's lots of insults on them, like so-and-so is a dirty, rotten brat, and somebody else stinks.
Yeah, they went pretty much in for that, along with the love notes and the hearts and so forth. I think that Marge didn't keep it going in her class as long as Jan Speer did down in Auburn in her class. And her class had much more verses and things like that. They had the same insults. They had a lot of political.
Yes.
Here's President Carter,
uh-huh,
up over and over again,
yeah,
and
right.
Lots on the energy situation. And
I particularly like that one that says Jimmy Carter is a nut, and there he is pictured as a peanut.
Yeah.
And that brings you back to the very important thing that graffiti is, that visual statement.
Yeah. Here's some philosophy. If you are small, it don't matter. And I'd write a word of wisdom if I knew any. And there's some teasing. I asked Jan about this, and she said, oh, yes, Kathy doesn't mind this teasing.
Is that the one?
Yeah.
Now that Kathy has her clogs, she's tall enough to be a midget?
Yeah. She says they have lots of talk about small is beautiful. And here's one that I like. Somebody wrote, studying causes cancer. And somebody else wrote underneath it, 6A is in no danger.
I wonder how much stimulation this graffiti sheet provided for subjects that might not be discussed in a classroom. For instance, you were talking about that smallness.
Yeah, and I imagine mm-hmm. It brought up subjects that were worthy of discussion. One that they had on the school nurse wrote it from the backwards letters. And it said, I am locked inside this wall and can't get out.
So even the school nurse worked out with
and
this.
And the kids had fun trying mm-hmm. to read it backwards. And then there were lots of verses. Roses are red, violets are blue. I kissed a cow and thought it was you, and things like that.
Well, Jackie, what do you have in mind for your radio audience to do? What would you like them to write in about? You want them to write graffiti or keep graffiti? What
well,
do you have
the
in
kids
mind?
Down there at Auburn, and I think that the kids at Harvard Park thoroughly enjoyed it. We'll read some of their letters later on the Reading Your Writing. One wrote, good graffiti is sixth grade graffiti. And Mrs. Spears says that she asked the kids why they didn't write on the graffiti sheet after a while, and they said, well, because it got full. They wanted a clear space. And so she's putting up another sheet for them. But what I'd like you to do, those of you that are listening today, two things after a bit. One is try putting up a graffiti sheet, a graffiti board, and try writing, you know, the clever, the fun things on it. Avoid, if you can, the things that have to be scratched out and said censored. But and then write to us, too, what you think are the problems and the pleasures of such a public form of expression. And as for your writing today, right now, how about devising your own T-shirt message or your button or bumper sticker? What's the message that you want to proclaim to the world? There's a graffiti book that ends this way. Happiness is a white wall and a magic marker.
And I think that's a great way to end our show today, too.
Thanks, Marion, for being here.